Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to church this morning. It's great to see you all. For those listening in online, still at home, we give a special welcome out to you. And if you're visiting us today, a very even bigger special welcome to you this morning. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. And we here at Abbotsford Anglican Church are ordinary people, who have come to know God through Jesus Christ, and we choose to live life according to his word, the Bible. And today helping me in singing is Rosemary and Sam on the keyboard and Rosemary on guitar, and Roy is going to read to us from the Bible, and we'll continue our Bible teaching through Ephesians. The title for the sermon series is Seeing Ourselves Through God's Eyes. So often we tend to see ourselves through our own eyes or through the eyes of other people, and we gain our impression of who we are from what we think of, what they think of us. And so through the book of Ephesians, we're being reminded to see ourselves through God's eyes. Today also we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, and it's a time when we remember God's not only God's great love for us, but the love we ought to have for one another in Christ. So as you came in, you would have received a little cup and a wafer in there. And during the service, you'll have an opportunity to take of that in the service. Each month, we think on a certain mission to support, for the work of God is not only going on in this place, but throughout the world. And so we partake in that mission work by thinking and praying and supporting about a certain mission for the month. And this month, we're thinking on the work of ministry to refugees, and particularly through the Blair family. And we have an opportunity to support them financially through the envelope today, or also through our prayer time together. We also take a time to think of those who, on our behalf, share and care the gospel with those who are less fortunate than ourselves or in circumstances that they cannot help that they're in. And today, this month, we're thinking about prison chaplains and their ministry to those who are in prison and to their families and to the staff that support them. Rosemary will be leading us in our time of prayer today. Thanks, Rosemary. As I said, today is the Lord's Supper together, and if you love the Lord Jesus, please partake of this meal together in this token way. Our first song reminds us, is a theme for today's sermon and Bible teaching, as we leave from here, that to tell out our souls the glories of God's word, unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice. God has been so good to us in Jesus. It's worth sharing, it's worth telling. So let's stand and sing this song together. person next to you and say, good morning, welcome to church. The Lord be with you and also with you. The Lord be with you. Well, while we remain standing, let's pray for our kids and the kids' church leaders as they go off to our kids' church. Loving Father, we thank you that for children whom we can, as this last song has told us, that we can share the good news of Jesus with as well, and they with us. Go with them now, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Please be seated. Kids, we'll see you later over morning tea and look forward to hearing what you've learned from God's word. As we who gather today, let's begin by praying this opening prayer together. Together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Together, Lord, have mercy on us and write your commandments in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, as Roy comes up to read to us the scriptures, turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 13, or in the bulletin in the handout that's been given to you. Thanks, Roy.
Today's Bible reading is taken from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 3, at the beginning. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and share us together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you please stand? And in our time of meeting together as God's people, we do have an opportunity to say what we believe with Christians down through the ages in the words of a statement of belief, a creed. And so would you stand with me as we say together the Nicene Creed together? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, eternally begotten of the Father, Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated and open up your Bibles to the Bible reading that Roy so well read to us from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through to 13, or in your bulletin in the handout that's there in front of you. I apologise for not moving the slides along earlier on. I was just encapsulated by the reading and hearing of God's word at that time. But turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through to 13. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak to us through your word, the Bible. You do not leave us alone to come up with just our ideas about who you are. That would be very convenient. But you have made yourself known to us through your word in the past in many and various ways. People heard you speak and wrote down what they heard. And then you became one of us in Jesus. The word became flesh. You revealed yourself in all your fullness to us in him. And those who witnessed him, you caused by your Spirit to so witness accurately what they heard and taught from him, from you. This is what is before us now in your word, and so help me to teach it correctly as I ought. And may we engage with what we hear as we ought, and may we experience your Spirit so guiding us to do so, for your glory, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title for today's sermon is called The Ministry of Grace. And as I mentioned earlier, it's our sermon series that we continue through the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus and to all Christians, really. And the sermon title, the sermon series, is Seeing Ourselves Through God's Eyes. The evangelist Billy Graham, in his book Peace with God, wrote of an 18th century evangelist, English evangelist, the Reverend Caesar Mallon, who at once heard a young lady sing and play charmingly, and following the recital, Caesar found himself saying to the woman, "I thought tonight how tremendously the cause of Christ could be benefited if your talents were dedicated to his cause. You know, young lady, you are such a sinner as a drunkard in the ditch or a harlot on Scarlet Street. But I'm glad to tell you that the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin." We couldn't get away with saying that today, could we? Obviously, she was deeply offended and could not sleep that night. But early in the hours of the next morning, however, Charlotte Elliot got up and penned these words. Just as I am, without one plea, but thou blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Offensive as they were, she could not sleep that night, for she knew the words of Caesar, of God, to be true. Millions have embraced the grace of God with these words under many a preacher's ministry of God's grace. The grace of God, God's unmerited favour in Jesus Christ to sinners such as you and me, is the enabling to put us right with God, to bring us peace with God through the person and work of Jesus Christ alone, through the cross. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. This is the grace of God. And the making known of God's grace is the mystery of God's grace. And the ministry of God's grace, or the administration of it, as Paul puts it in the reading we heard Roy read to us, was the essence of the Apostle Paul's ministry. It flavoured his conversations with God, as we read his letters, and with people that he met, and in his preaching. In greeting the Christians in Ephesus and us and all who would read this letter, in his opening verses 1 and 2, Paul prayed for the grace of God to be upon us. And he concludes his letter and farewells us in chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, by praying again that the grace of God be upon us. The grace of God be upon us. In both his greeting and in his farewelling, God's grace was mentioned. And where God's grace is mentioned, so is God's peace. For if someone is a beneficiary of God's favour, one who has received God's grace, they have received also peace with God. And as we heard last week and could read in the verses preceding these before us this morning, peace with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ also, no matter what our background or difficulty there may be, have been so as to reconcile. Even the hostility that was between Jew and Gentile is reconcilable through the ministry of God's grace. With grace comes peace. Peace with God, freedom from hostility with him, and peace with one's fellow Christian. Paul wanted peace for everyone in Christ, so that the grace of God, the gospel, flavoured Paul's prayers. And the grace of God also flavoured Paul's preaching too. The apostle was emphatic that when he preached in order to let all who heard him now know that salvation from God's wrath, peace with God, is by the grace of God alone. Twice in the spaces of a few verses, Paul wrote, which we heard read 2 weeks ago, it's by grace you have been saved, not from yourselves, verse 5. And again then in verse 8, it is by grace you have been saved. It's not by your works. It is the gift of God. Paul, in his preaching, made it absolutely clear that salvation, the message of the Bible, the message of the church, of Christians, comes only by God's kindness, God's mercy, God's love, God's grace. The grace of God flavored Paul's prayer, and the grace of God flavored Paul's preaching. It flavored Paul's prayer and preaching, not because he was some mere courier of God, someone whom God had a task for and had to do it, but because the apostle knew firsthand the grace and peace of God. His conversion and apostleship, verses 2 and 8, he attributed to the grace of God there in chapter 3. To say that he was the less than the least of all the Lord's people, verse 2, was no exaggeration, as we well know from our sermons through Acts a few months ago. Prior to his conversion and commissioning, Paul had been calculatingly hostile towards Jesus and all who believed and followed him. He approved the death of Stephen. He arrested others in Jerusalem, and he set out to harass all who called themselves Christians. As Paul looked back on where he had come from, who he once was, he never stopped wondering at God's kindness to him, his mercy, his love in choosing him, calling him, forgiving him, and saving him. In his own words, the worst of sinners. As we look back, as I look back on where we have come from and on what we once were, or where you might think you are now, sinners in the eyes of God, enemies of his, whether actively or passively, we were once objects of God's wrath by nature. Do we never stop wondering at God's kindness to us, his mercy, his love, his undeserving choosing of us, calling us, forgiving us, saving us? In the eyes of God, once no worse a sinner than Paul, but now, through God's eyes, God now sees us as looking upon Christ himself because of the grace of God, because of Jesus. It's not until one looks over the edge to see what could have been that one is grateful for intervention. For the Apostle Paul, the ministry of God's grace to him, the manifold wisdom of God, as he puts it in verse 10, was also for him a message he knew was for many a mystery that needed to be revealed. Such wisdom, such grace, such love, such kindness could not be selfishly contained to oneself or to just a few. Paul knew it had to be told to all. And Paul knew it had to be told to everyone. All needed to hear and know the grace and peace of God. Making known the grace of God became God's calling, God's enabling for Paul as an apostle. Look there at verses 8 and 9. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. And today, brothers and sisters, It is God's calling and enabling upon us, the church. Verses 10 to 12. His, God's intent, purpose, was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. All need to hear, know, and appreciate the grace and peace of God. The ministry of God's grace flavored Paul's prayer, and the ministry of God's grace flavored Paul's preaching. It is now God's intent that such be true in our reasoning for being the church, that it be obvious by the way we pray, by the way we live, by the way we speak, and by what we seek to make known to each other and to all, that the grace of God, God's unmerited favor in Jesus Christ to sinners, his enabling to put them right with God, to bring them peace with him through the person and work of Jesus Christ, through the cross, the essence of the apostles' ministry once, is now ours. The ministry of grace is now the church's ministry. It's your ministry. It's my ministry. It's our ministry here at Abbotsford Anglican in all that we've done in the past, in the present, and by God's grace will do in the future. Let me pray. Lord of all history and giver of all grace, thank you for revealing your eternal plan and promise of salvation through the gospel to bring together as one body in Christ all who believe in him, heirs, members, and sharers together in the promise in Christ. We pray that this gospel, your manifold wisdom, once a mystery to us, now made known, may be so displayed in the life and the proclamation of the church, of this church, that all may know your intent, that in Christ and through faith in him, we who are receivers of your grace may approach you, God. May approach you with freedom and confidence through the blood of Jesus shed for us, our Lord. Amen. Let's say this psalm together. I will sing the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Amen. Let's stand and sing this song together. O great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart, own it all and reign supreme, conquer every rebel power.
Occupy my lonely heart.
Rosemary is going to come now and lead us in a time of prayer together. We'll just give her a time just to put the guitar down. Great, darling. There you go.
Thank you. I'm going to spend a bit of time in prayer now. Heavenly Father, it is not always easy to find joy in the middle of the chaos and difficulty that life brings. And we need to often be intentional in our thoughts and prayer to bring and keep joy in our lives. So, loving God, we thank you for the blessings you've bestowed upon us. We have so many things to be thankful for, yet at times we are missing joy. Help us to remember your grace, the kindness that you have shown us through your Son, Jesus. We ask that you provide us with joy immeasurable. Bring us closer to you so we can be the followers we need to be. Draw us close to you, Jesus, and help us to love like you, forgive like you, and live for you. And we ask this through Jesus' name. Amen. A prayer for King Charles. We thank you, O Lord God, for King Charles, and we ask that as you were with his mother, so might you lead and bless him. We thank you for the gifts you have given him and the years of public service he has already given. May he have wisdom in his decision-making. Enable him to lead well and give him advisors of insight and integrity. Give him the energy he needs to fulfill his duties, and may he be a voice for hope and justice. May he run the race well and point others to the love of God. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer for prison chaplaincy. Lord Jesus, we praise you, the servant king, who willingly gave up your life that we might live. We pray for all at this time who offer up their lives in service of others, and particularly we remember those working in prisons, who despite their isolation and the difficulties of the environment, continue to offer care and compassion to those who are held in custody. Protect them daily in their tasks and fill them afresh with your Holy Spirit as they minister to the spiritual and emotional needs of those they meet. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who alone brings order to the human heart, peace to a troubled world, and the hope of eternal life for all who put their trust in you. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray for those who have been sent out as your missionaries here and abroad, and we especially bring before you the Blair family and their work with refugees here in Sydney. Keep them safe on the roads as they teach young people to drive, and we pray that as they plan the next fellowship weekend away, that you will provide the funds they need and guide them by your Spirit as they plan and get ready for this weekend. Bring to them people, both adults and teenagers, who want to hear your word, open their eyes and their ears to you, that the love that they have for you might be shown through the work that they do to these refugees as they settle in Australia and as they become members of those communities that they live in. May they again be a light to your word. And we ask this in your name. Amen. We pray for the Anglican Church and our parish. Lord, you said, I will build my church. We ask you, Lord, to fulfil your promise so we uphold before you the work of the Anglican Church in Australia and this Diocese of Sydney. We pray for Kanishka, our Archbishop, and Michael, our Regional Bishop. Continue to grow our parish of Abbotsford and your congregation here in love and unity. We pray for Trevor and Karen as they work to bring the gospel to those in their care. And we pray for unity of this congregation as we respond to your amazing grace and strive to live each day in obedience to you. Strengthen your people for their witness and work in the world. Fill your ministers with your Spirit that they may faithfully preach the gospel and administer your holy sacraments. Unite in the truth all who confess your name, that we may live together in love and proclaim your glory in all the world. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. and a prayer for all people. God of everlasting love, who provides all things, we pray for all people. Make your way known to them, your saving power among all nations. We particularly pray for those who are afflicted or distressed, those who are without homes and facing conflict in war, famine, flood and disease. We commend to your fatherly goodness all who are afflicted and distressed in body, mind or circumstances, and we particularly remember in a moment of silence those we know who are struggling at this time. Relieve them, O Heavenly Father, according to their needs, giving them patience in their sufferings and deliverance from their afflictions. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, all good things come from you. Throughout this week, help us to hear your word, that we may know and speak the truth, and to obey your word, that we may honour you in all we do. Deliver us from all that is false and renew us by your Spirit, that we may know life in all its fullness. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And will you say with me the set prayer for today? Let us pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. God of wisdom and love, source of all good, send your Spirit to teach us your truth and guide us actions in your way of peace. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, Rosemary. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, we who come now to receive the Holy Communion of the body and blood of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, can come only because, as we've heard, read and preached, of his great love for us. For although we are completely undeserving of his love, yet in order to raise us from the darkness of death to everlasting life as God's sons and daughters, our Saviour Christ humbled himself to share our life and to die for us on a cross. In remembrance of his death and as a pledge of his love, Jesus instituted this holy sacrament which we are now to share. But those who would eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord must examine themselves and amend their lives. They must come with a repentant heart, a steadfast faith, and above all, they must give thanks to God for his love towards us in Christ Jesus. You then who truly repent of your sins and are reconciled with others, intending to lead a new life of joyful obedience to God, draw near with faith. And let us take this holy sacrament to strengthen and sustain us. But first, let us make a humble confession of our sins to Almighty God. Together. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you made all things and you call everyone to account. With shame, we confess the sins we have committed against you in thought, word, and deed. We rightly deserve your condemnation. We turn from our sins and are truly sorry for them. They are a burden we cannot bear. Have mercy on us, most merciful Father. For the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us all that is past. Enable us to serve and please you in newness of life, to your honour and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who has promised to forgive the sins of all who turn to him with repentance and faith, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Strengthen you to do his will and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. hear these words of assurance for those who truly turn to Christ. Jesus said, "Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened," Jesus said, "and I will give you rest." God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is worthy of all praise, always and everywhere. It is right for us to praise you, Lord, Holy Father, mighty Creator and eternal God. Therefore, with all those gathered around your throne in heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name in words of never-ending praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory to you, Lord Most High. Let us pray. We do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. We thank you, Father, that in your love and mercy, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our salvation. By this offering of himself, once and for all time, Jesus made a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world and commanded us to continue a remembrance of his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, merciful Father, and grant that we who receive these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine, according to our Saviour's command, in remembrance of his suffering and death, may be partakers of his body and blood. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the meal, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Come, let us eat and let us drink, in remembrance that Christ died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith, with thanksgiving. Amen. Take and eat. This bread in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Take and drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Let us pray. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, we are confident to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Thank you for assuring us of your goodness and love, and that we are members of his body and heirs through hope of your eternal kingdom. Together, keep us faithful to your Son, and strengthen us by your Spirit to do the good works you have prepared for us to do, for your honour and praise. Amen. Amen. Well, as you came in today, you would have received a bulletin, and inside the bulletin are a number of little announcements in there. I understand that the ladies had a lovely breakfast yesterday morning, and I look forward to hearing over morning tea some of the fellowship and conversation and things of the morning that you had together. I'm sure the food would have been just as good as the men had the week before, if not maybe better. Also, you'll note there the parish council's meeting immediately after the service today, and we'll be meeting for a little time after church, so we may not be able to stay for morning tea for too long, but we'll be out having a time of planning for next year. Also, you'll notice that Rosemary and I are going to have a little break, a little holiday, thank you, that we can take this time away, and we're looking forward to just going down to the South Coast for a couple of weeks. This is our planned time of the year for a break. And the Reverend David Anthony is going to come and preach to us, continuing through the sermon series in Ephesians. And the title for the sermon is The Impossible Prayer. And that's the little next section that's in Ephesians chapter 3. And then following that, the Reverend Peter Mortfew from the local Presbyterian church up here as well is coming the week after to preach from Psalm 45. And so please encourage them and welcome them as you have in the past. And we look forward to being back with you when we return from holidays. If you can take a little moment now again just to plan for 2023. It's been really helpful hearing what you've thought already, and there may be many thoughts that have come to mind again, but inside your bulletin you'll notice a bit of paper, a little survey that has three little questions. What would you like to hear from God's word in the coming year? I'd like to know that in helping me to plan the preaching program for next year. And what's some ideas that you think that you would be able to, that we could run, that you would feel comfortable to bring a friend of yours along, or even someone who's not your friend, but someone along to hear the gospel, to experience what it is to have fellowship with other Christians around. So please take a few minutes now just to write those in again. If you've already done this, please, if you thought of something else, continue to write something now. I'll give you a couple of minutes just to do that. You may take that home with you this week and return it back next week by the red box at the back of the church. Our mission focus, while you're just doing this, our mission focus for next month and through to December in terms of Anglican care is on toys and tucker. And in collaboration with the preschool here, and Janice will tell us more of this in the weeks ahead, we'll be contributing towards bringing in various gifts, presents, food items that will have a list of what we to bring in that we can give to those less fortunate than ourselves at this time of the year. There'll be a list of items and a Christmas tree, I gather, and boxes and buckets of which those can be brought in. That'll be going right through to about the end of November and the first week of December. Are there any other announcements that need to be? Oh, Fiona, yes. BCA boxes, the Bush Church Aid Society. If you've been contributing towards that via the boxes, the coinage into that or notes, please return those to you, Fiona, in the coming weeks. After church today, we have, I need to find my bulletin. I've forgotten who's actually on today, who's helping us in prayers. Put up your hand if you're at the front today to help us to pray with it. Thanks. Tony and Barb, all right. If you would like prayer for what we've heard today or anything in your life at this moment, Tony and Barb will be happy to pray with you after church. Just come on up the front here. Thank you for giving towards ministry in this place and beyond every day. Thank you for giving in this place. It's a generous church and we do thank you for supporting the work either through your free will offertories in the envelopes or via online giving. As we go from here, we'll have some morning tea and refreshments and can continue the fellowship in our conversations. And over a cup of tea or coffee, please do so COVID safely. Grab your meal and go out to the playground. I think it's not quite raining at the moment, just maybe a little sprinkling that's looking good. The sentence of scripture for this morning is from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. It sums up our teaching again. This mystery, that is the grace of God, the mystery, the ministry of God's grace, is that through the gospel, the Gentiles, all people, are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Let's stand and sing our final hymn together, "It Is Well With My Soul," indeed. In this song, you'll notice, please stand. In this song, you'll also note that there's a refrain that us men, we sing it. I'll lead it as best I can to the women.
Oh,
understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ.